breaking news as we come on the air. The passenger plane suffering an engine emergency midair. Shocking new images of plane debris scattered around a neighborhood. The United Airlines flight flying from Denver to Honolulu with 231 passengers and 10 crew members on board, forced to turn around due to right engine failure shortly after takeoff. The plane managing to land safely, the details just coming in. Also developing tonight, the major disaster declaration in Texas. Millions of people still without safe drinking water. In Killeen, frozen pipes preventing the sprinkler system from deploying during this raging hotel fire. The power grid back on, but now a new gut punch. The households now reporting sky-high electric bills, some into the thousands. The extreme weather impacting several other states. In Mississippi, crews working around the clock to restore power to more than 63,000 customers. But some relief tonight, the major thaw unfolding across the South as warmer temperatures move in. Vaccination backlog. Shipping companies rushing to deliver vaccines this weekend after weather delayed 6 million doses. Thousands of sites forced to cancel appointments. In Philadelphia, a team of doctors holding a 24-hour vaxathon to get shots to thousands in an underserved community. This as the country nears 500,000 American lives lost from the virus. Push for COVID relief. House Democrats unveiling their $1.9 trillion stimulus plan, including $1,400 direct payments to many Americans. The pushback from Republicans tonight. School board backlash. An entire school board resigning after comments made during a virtual meeting. The board members thinking it was private, making disparaging remarks about parents. Family carjacked. A suspect allegedly stealing two cars, one with a woman and two young children inside. The chase through city streets and the dramatic moment police took him down. An ICE rescue. The child falling through a frozen pond. How two good Samaritans pulled him to safety.
From ABC News World Headquarters in New York, this is World News Tonight.
Good evening. Thanks for joining us on this Saturday. I'm Whit Johnson. Several developing stories as we come on tonight. A major disaster declaration for Texas and the weather-related delay to the nation's COVID vaccine program. But we begin with that breaking news from Colorado. A midair emergency on board a Boeing 777 passenger plane. An engine failing shortly after takeoff. Pieces of the plane raining to the ground in a Denver suburb, littering an athletic field. One piece puncturing a hole in the roof of a home you see right there. And take a look. This piece landing in the front yard of a home, missing it by just a matter of feet. People on the ground say that they heard a loud explosion, then saw smoke trailing from the plane, the pilot calling a mayday before a white-knuckle return to the airport. ABC's Gio Benitez leads us off with the details just coming in.
Tonight, debris from a Boeing 777 falling from the sky. The United Airlines pilot calling in a mayday.
Mayday, mayday, United 328 heavy, mayday, mayday aircraft. Just experienced a engine failure, need a turn immediately.
Massive metal pieces from the engine landing in front yards and sports fields in several neighborhoods just outside Denver. United Airlines Flight 328 departed Denver International Airport at 12:49 p.m. local time, headed toward Honolulu. Shortly after takeoff, at 1 o'clock, the plane experiencing a right engine failure, forcing the crew to turn it around and make that emergency landing.
This big ring is actually the nacelle, the very front end of the engine. So you can see when the engine came apart internally, the force was so great that it blew that cover of the engine off and into this neighborhood.
Witnesses reported seeing smoke and hearing a loud boom, but incredibly, nobody on the ground was injured. The FAA tonight saying the plane returned to Denver International Airport and landed safely. The passengers deplaned and were bused to the terminal.
Gio Benitez joins us now. And Gio, this could have ended much differently. What happens next in the investigation?
Well, Whit, we're just getting some new information now. A person familiar with the situation is telling ABC News that investigators will focus on what they call a possible uncontained failure. That is when engine parts just start flying out. This is incredibly rare, so the NTSB is now investigating. Whit.
No question about that. The alarming video. Gio, thank you. We move to Texas now. President Biden declaring a major disaster in the state tonight. The record cold is gone and the power is back on, but the crisis is far from over. 14.3 million Texans are under boil water alerts. More than 150,000 have no water at all. Long lines for bottled water in Houston today. Food and supplies still running low. An hours-long wait at a Costco in Austin today. And tonight, word that some of those in need are becoming victims of price gouging as well. ABC's Trevor Ault on the ground in Houston.
Tonight, desperation and despair in Texas. Residents reeling from their fifth day without clean running water. Lines of people hunting for essentials, stretching blocks outside grocery stores, quickly emptying the shelves.
If you're not there hours before the store opens, you don't get anything.
14 million Texans told to boil their water. Just take a look at this woman's faucet. Now volunteers across the state handing out food and water at distribution sites like this one outside Houston. Rudy Rocha was one of many in line. He has a heart condition and says with this week's blackouts, he could barely leave his car.
And I'm a heart patient, got a pump in my heart, and if there's electricity, I got to plug myself to somebody's car.
So you basically just have to stay in this car to keep that going?
Power. Yes, if I run out of power.
We've been doing that for 2 days.
Today, President Biden approving a major disaster declaration in Texas, freeing up federal funds for the rampant damages.
Wow.
In Killeen, frozen pipes hampering firefighters battling this raging hotel inferno. And even residents like Marco Aguillon, who never lost power, had his ceiling cave in from burst pipes.
You consider yourself lucky and your ceiling collapsed.
I do.
Yeah.
I mean, we had electricity and at least we were warm.
And many households who weathered the storm now slap with sky-high electric bills totaling thousands because of variable power rates surging more than 50 times their usual price. Jade Nell says she unplugged every item in her house besides the thermostat, even filling the refrigerator with snow to keep it cold, and her power bill for 4 days was $621.
Now I'm sitting here with this problem. I've got two kids. My husband has to work. I just didn't know what to do.
And the havoc from this winter weather stretches well beyond Texas.
Looks like the city could get their act together.
Power and water still out in much of Jackson, Mississippi. Residents there waiting hours for bottled water at one distribution site that ran out in just 20 minutes.
Where is the mayor? I mean, this is just uncalled for.
Our Elwin Lopez is there.
Officials are asking residents to stay patient as they work to restore service to half of the city, and they are warning it might not be back up until mid-next week at the earliest.
The punishing winter blast now blamed for at least 70 deaths nationwide. Officials say one man died at an Abilene healthcare facility, unable to get his dialysis treatment due to lack of water pressure. And outside Houston, Tony Anderson found her husband Andy, a Vietnam vet, dead in his truck where he was trying to get power to his oxygen machine.
Went out there, he had no response. He was already cold.
Just awful what these families are going through. Trevor Ault joins us from a food distribution site in Houston. And Trevor, still no timeline for when water service will be restored in America's fourth largest city. And on top of that now, new reports tonight of massive price gouging.
That's right, Whit. Here in Harris County, officials say there's already been hundreds of price gouging reports filed against vendors jacking up the cost of bottled water or hotels charging $1,000 a night. Meanwhile, here at this site, they just gave out their 3,000th free meal of the day, and they're still giving out free water. Whit.
A lot of people doing good. Trevor, thank you so much. Let's get right to ABC's senior meteorologist, Rob Marciano. And Rob, that relentless winter blast finally coming to an end.
Finally, with the length of this cold snap has been most remarkable. Over 3,000 cold temperature records broken in the last week, but for much of the Midwest, it's been a 2- and 3-week stretch of cold and snow. All right, the big thaw is on. Here we go. Hard freeze not in the forecast tonight. The warming trend is. Temperatures will get in the 40s and 50s in Oklahoma and Memphis, Tennessee, where they've seen some snow and ice. But look at Houston and New Orleans, all the way up and down I-10. Temps stay in the 60s through the middle part of the week. Next storm up is a weaker one, but we'll bring 1 to 4 inches of snow along I-80 from Des Moines to Chicago to Milwaukee and Green Bay. Detroit, Pittsburgh gets a wet snow tomorrow night into Monday, and not much accumulation expected here along I-95. Whit.
All right, Rob, thank you. Now to the pandemic and the weather hampering delivery of vaccines to all 50 states. 6 million doses delayed. Shipping companies scrambling to catch up. FedEx and others rerouting deliveries. More than 42 million nationwide receiving at least one dose of the vaccine. That's 13% of the population. This as the U.S. approaches a new painful milestone, nearly 500,000 dead from the virus amid growing concerns over spreading mutations. ABC's Stephanie Ramos with the latest.
Tonight, the rush to get back on track. COVID vaccination centers from Colorado to Pennsylvania scrambling to catch up after those deadly ice storms slowed shipments.
I can't do anything about the cold weather. Just asking people to dress warm.
Overnight in Philadelphia, a group of black doctors holding a 24-hour vaxathon to reach those eligible in the hardest hit areas. The weather hampering the rollout in all 50 states and creating a backlog. At least 6 million doses unable to be delivered. Days worth of shipping delays. Today, the White House revealing the majority of those doses have been shipped. FedEx and UPS making deliveries all weekend. Vaccination sites now work. Working overtime.
We're asking them to extend their hours. We're asking them to make more appointments.
The supply shortage is fueling ongoing debate over whether second doses should be delayed to get more Americans their first shot. A new study finding the Pfizer vaccine was 85% effective in preventing symptomatic disease 15 to 28 days after the first dose. The White House remaining firm on following the two-dose regimen.
Even though you can get a fair degree of, quote, protection after a single dose, it clearly is not durable.
But seemingly positive signs emerging. The number of patients in hospitals dropping to numbers not seen since the spring and summer. The U.S., though, still inching toward that unfathomable milestone, 500,000 confirmed COVID deaths. Christian Chavez is part of a mariachi band. He says his California organization has lost 60 of its 400 members to COVID, including his godfather, who died after his band returned to work in October.
We thought it was okay to start working again, and we started working. And then I got infected, and then my father got sick as well. And two other people, well, co-workers for my mariachi, got sick, and they end up dying.
The White House says the FDA plans to release guidance to pharmaceutical companies on how to test updated vaccines targeting variants. Scientists say they may not need to be tested in large clinical trials made up of tens of thousands of volunteers, like with the initial vaccine, making the process faster. Whit.
Stephanie Ramos, our thanks to you tonight. The pandemic, of course, leaving millions of Americans in need. And now House Democrats have released the text of their massive relief package, nearly 600 pages long, and with a price tag of $1.9 trillion. The Republicans swiftly pushing back. Here's ABC's Alex Preshay.
Tonight, Democrats moving closer to making President Biden's $1.9 trillion COVID relief plan a reality, despite fierce Republican opposition.
Let me ask them, what would they have me cut? What would they have me leave out?
The nearly 600-page House bill includes $1,400 stimulus checks for most Americans and an extension of $400 weekly federal unemployment benefits. The Democrats' goal? To get the bill on the president's desk before those benefits expire on March 14th. Just last week, 861,000 Americans filed new unemployment claims, the highest number in a month. And more than 18 million Americans are collecting benefits from state and federal government programs. Unemployment has been a much-needed lifeline for people like Annette Guagliardo of New Jersey.
Annette, how you doing these days?
She lost her restaurant job last March. She's hoping to go back to work come April.
We're eager to work. Eager. But as far as that money, I'm hoping and praying I can get a stimulus that will definitely secure me for April for rent.
GOP leadership is urging House Republicans to vote no on the bill, but Democrats don't need their support, looking to advance it to the Senate by the end of next week. Now, President Biden has said that he's open to a cheaper relief bill if it means bipartisan support, but so far, he hasn't budged. Whit?
All right, Alex, thank you. Overseas now, the crackdown on anti-coup protesters growing more deadly in Myanmar. At least three people now dead, several hurt. Riot police shooting into the demonstrators violently trying to break up the protests. The U.S. Embassy strongly condemning the crackdown, supporting the protesters, saying no one should be harmed for exercising the right to dissent. There's still much more ahead on World News Tonight. This Saturday, school board backlash. The school board members talking about parents during a Zoom call. What happened after they realized that call was not private? And the family carjacked, a suspect leading police on a wild chase. The dramatic moment officers caught up to him. Stay with us.
We've got the exclusive view behind the table. Every day, right after the show, while the topics are still hot, the ladies go deeper into the moments that make the view, the view. The Views Behind the Table podcast. Listen wherever you get your podcasts.
Hey, I'm Andy Mitchell, a New York Times bestselling author.
And I'm Sabrina Kohlberg, a morning television producer. We're moms of toddlers and best friends of 20 years.
And we both love to talk about being parents, yes, but also pop culture.
So we're combining our two interests by talking to celebrities, writers, and fellow scholars of TV and movies.
Cinema, really.
About what we all can learn from the fictional moms we love to watch.
From ABC Audio and Good Morning America, Pop Culture Moms is out now wherever you listen to podcasts.
The first ever criminal trial of a former president is underway in Manhattan. It's one of potentially four trials facing former President Trump as he makes his third bid for the White House. What do voters think about his culpability, and would a guilty verdict make a difference in the election? I'm Galen Druk, and every Monday and Thursday on the 538 Politics podcast, we break down the latest news from the campaign trail. We sort through the noise and zoom in on what really matters, using data and research as we go. That's 538 Politics every Monday and Thursday, wherever you get your podcasts.
Back now with the push to reopen schools. Tempers now flaring in a small California town after a school board Zoom call went viral. Here's ABC's Zareen Shaw.
Tonight, Oakley, California, looking for a new school board after a meeting where members, believing this call was private,
are we alone?
Expressing frustration at parent complaints about school closures.
It's really unfortunate that they want to pick on us because they want their babysitters back.
Suddenly realizing,
we have the meeting open to the public right now.
Recorded by a parent, the remark sparking outrage.
I don't think any of my collective parenting friends ever would expect a teacher to be a babysitter. That's just not what education is about.
The full school board resigning and the president saying, my remark was callous and uncalled for, and for that I am truly sorry. She tells ABC News she is now getting threats. The episode illustrating nationwide tension about reopening schools safely. Some parents fed up. In Sonoma County, California, buying billboards. In San Francisco, despite rain, setting up their kids' online classes in protest, literally outside schoolhouse doors. Now in California, a new plan for speeding up school staff vaccinations.
We are also setting aside 10% of all first doses.
Teachers here getting vaccinated. As for those youngest kids, Dr. Anthony Fauci now predicting early next year. Wit?
That seems to be a moving timeline. Zareen Shaw for us, thank you. To the index and the dramatic takedown of a carjacking suspect in Philadelphia. The suspect stealing the car of a pizza delivery driver while his wife and two young children were inside. He then jumped into a second car, leading police on that wild chase, at one point circling police headquarters. The suspect eventually pulling onto a snow-covered pathway where police pulled him out of the car and arrested him. And rescued from freezing water, new video showing the 11-year-old boy after he fell through a frozen pond in Jefferson, Texas. A dog walker spotted the child and called for help. Afraid time was running out, her grandfather attached a rope to his truck. You see it there, and was able to pull the boy to safety. And an update tonight, Prince Philip, the 99-year-old husband of Queen Elizabeth, will remain in the hospital. Prince Charles visited his father at a private hospital in London today. The Duke of Edinburgh was admitted on Tuesday after falling ill. Buckingham Palace says he will stay for observation through the weekend and likely into next week. And tennis star Naomi Osaka winning her fourth Grand Slam title. She defeated 25-year-old American Jennifer Brady in two straight sets at the Australian Open. Osaka is on a 21-match winning streak, including her championship at last year's U.S. Open. Finally tonight, Texas Strong, the neighbors coming together amid historic winter storms and their inspirational acts of kindness.
The Arctic blast in Texas this week
wreaking havoc on millions.
Whoa.
Yet despite personal loss and devastation, residents of that big state proving they have big hearts, too.
Look at all this water.
After losing power at his Houston home, Raymond Garcia spent the day going door to door, fixing his neighbor's broken pipes.
I'm just trying to help the Houston community. If I can help anybody else, my close range, I will.
Just last week, Garcia lost his mother to COVID-19, saying she inspired him.
My mom always taught me, you know, if you help and you give to people, God will always bless you. And you know what? I've been blessed.
Many desperate for basic essentials. In Waco, Meals on Wheels volunteer Nico Atkinson, braving icy conditions, determined to deliver hot food to neighbors in need.
One of them were, without food, I have to get them something hot and make sure that they're okay.
In the small town of Marlin, Texas, the nearly 7,000 residents lost power and water around the same time. The water plant suffering serious damage from the freezing temperatures, but people stepped up to lend a hand.
We put out a call. We actually asked for about 8 healthy bodies. And we got 20.
Lifting those replacement parts and lifting spirits, helping the water flow in Marlin once again.
We band together to do what we have to do. And that's why Marlin, little old Marlin, continues to be Marlin strong.
Marlin strong. Thanks for watching.